So I had several people, several occasions this week where people asked me questions about our worship team and music, just some inquiries from people who were out of town looking for a church, and had the opportunity of sharing with them a little bit about our about Pastor Fidelis and the worship team. And I tell you what, I'm so thankful for them. And for those who don't know, I mean, they get here way early on Sunday morning. They start praying and coming together in the seven-something time realm. And then they also gather together during the middle of the week and pray together. And it is there is an intensity and a passion in them to actually lead us in actual worship. And I don't mean that. I mean that from the depth of my being. It is so significant and so beautiful. One of the things I shared with somebody this week is, at the same time, if I come in Sunday morning and God has completely given us a U-turn on where we're going with the message, I can come in and they've had prepared all week, and I say, you know, here's where we're going. And there is such a submissive spirit to the heart of God. They'll just turn and go, whoosh. It's just an amazing thing to be part of something that works together so beautifully. And I thank God for them. Announcement I want to underline again. Easter is going to be an amazing celebration. We have, I want to invite you, if you haven't got those invitation cards, get some. I'm sure we can find some more. I don't know. Do we have more? They're on the back table. Take those with you. Give them to people on the street. Give them to friends. Give them to people that you know. Invite them to the Easter service. We're going to have a great breakfast feast at 9. And then at 10 o'clock, we're going to have an Easter service. Part of that Easter service, toward the end of the service, we're going to have a baptism. And I'm so looking forward to that. And so next Sunday, during the Sunday school hour, that's 9:30 to 10:30, I'll be teaching a baptism class. There's a lot of confusion about baptism. And so even if you just want to hear that, just come. We'll have a great time going through it. And also, 3 weeks from today, because of requests that have been layering, and now the Lord is like finally got a, you know, me where I need to be, we're going to have a new members class again, which I love doing. So my favorite thing to do is to go through. So if you're interested in it, by the way, it doesn't mean you necessarily have to be here. In other words, it's not a contractual thing that you come to the new members class, you have to lay down your life in this body. But if you're just interested, or if you're just going to watch me squirm because you can ask any question you want, come to that. It's a great time. So 3 weeks from today, in other words, the Sunday after Easter. The gospel of the kingdom, breaking the ice. I've been going through this series on the gospel of the kingdom, and Romans chapter 8, verse 7, we'll begin with that verse in praying for a miracle today, because it's deeply embedded in my heart today that God wants to do this miracle today. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Carnal is translated in some translations, and properly so, the natural. This is where I started. How many of you know that this is where we all started, right? This is how we all started. And this word against is the Greek word eis, and it's where we get our word. Anybody want to make a guess? Ice. This is ekthras in this verse, because you've heard me preach it before. But you haven't heard me preach on this word. The word against is the Greek word ice, and it's where we get our word what? Hello, as Pastor Fidel said. This is where we get our word what? Which implies what? Cold, hard, and dead. The natural man, his heart is against God. That's where I was. And I'm telling you, it took a miracle for God to show me that. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And God, I pray that you would reveal to all of us, and many of us already know, oh God, the more we walk with you, the more we know how dead we were. And the more we praise you, God, for raising us from the dead. But at the same time, God, there are people here today. I know, because you've crushed my heart. There are people here. You want to turn a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. Speak your word alive to us today and raise the dead. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Against is ice. And I ask you to put a slide up with the Strong's definition. I don't know if they have that ready or not, but if you put it up, it was pretty compelling to me. And hello? Do you have that? There it is. Strong's number 1519, ice. Abundantly against, a point reached, a position entered into, and a continual expression. Pretty intense, right? So the natural man, keep that up there for me if you will, a natural man, the carnally minded man, is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. This word against comes up a lot in Scripture. Do a little Bible study, but mostly I just want us to look at our hearts. And for those of us that have, remember when we were dead, remember that God has given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And one of the things that I struggled with, well, I didn't really even receive at first. I mean, remember how I was raised. Remember, I was not raised in the church, I was raised in the mountains. I literally was raised in the mountains. And I still love the mountains. But I had this connection with God, I thought. You know, me and God were like, you know, buddies, and I loved. But if you would have come to me and said, Theodore Patrick Jolly, I'd known I was in trouble right away then, because no one used my name like that unless it was my mother and I was in trouble. But if you'd have come to me and said, you are against God, what do you think I would have said? No way. I'm not against God. I'm for God. As a matter of fact, if he ran for president, I would probably vote for him. Are you for God? I thought I was. But the Scripture says the natural man is against God. All of us are. Matthew 7:21, you don't have to go there. We quote this almost every week, it seems like. But it says, Jesus said at the judgment seat, let me put it that way, he gives us this scene, and he says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And then it says this tragic scene, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then Jesus said, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. If you had asked these many who are going to end up in hell, who come in the presence of Jesus and find him say, depart from me, if you had asked them if they were against God, what do you think they would have said? No way. So you see, it wasn't just Theodore that had this blindness to his heart being against God. It's a point reached, a position entered into that most people don't even know. I was blind about my own heart. And I know that there are people in this room whose hearts are ice. And I also know that it's not a great mystery to those in your world that love you. They know. And I know as a pastor, one of the things that God calls pastors to do is to give an account with either joy or grief. And there are people in my world right now that I'm praying for, because I'm telling you, this is serious stuff. Your heart is ice. You might not recognize it. It might be the thing you've entered into. You might even be in denial about it, but I cannot deny the truth. It's so hard to watch that. And remember that we're talking about here the greatest love story, right? Jesus is the groom, and who is it he's trying to build? His bride. He's trying to build his bride. He's trying to build his church. And so in this great love story, when he's talking about the natural man, he's talking about people. He's talking about the very people that he's trying to reach and reach out to and build his church with. All of us were natural. We were all against him. Let's go back and look at this verse, little chapter 8, verse 7, because it talks about some of the layers of this. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. And it says the carnal mind, this word carnal is the Greek word sarx, S-A-R-X is how it's written out. And it literally means the flesh with the skin peeled off. And so what is really inside of us at the deepest level when the skin is peeled off is that we are against God. And verse 7 says this, there's enmity, that's ekthra, and it's just as ugly as it sounds. It means there's a hostility in us in the deepest places. So not only was I against God, it dwelling in me was an embedded hostility against God. How in the world is this going to become a love story in which Jesus Christ is going to win my heart that is ice, when at the core of my ice is a fist? I want you to think about this from a romantic perspective. I mean, I can remember when I was pursuing my bride-to-be, I was pretty terrified of the thought of, I wonder what she thinks about me. Any guys ever been afraid of that? Raise your hand way up if you're afraid of it. And most of you, it's because of the fall. Ever since the fall, guys have had what? A very deep sense of the ugly me's. How many guys can relate to that? And knowing that, you know what? How many guys will tell you publicly today that I outkicked my coverage? Whoa, baby, she's way more than I deserve, right? How many of you will say, no, she got more? No, no, you don't even want to go there. Just say, yeah, she did not deserve you, I'll guarantee that. But think about this in light of a love story. What if you were pursuing this bride and you found out she was a sinner? Would that be a deal breaker? How many of you would raise your hand and say, no, 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 no. No, I mean, you know, I'm a sinner. I can be merciful. What if you found out about every one of her sins from the time she first came screaming into this world? Would you be overwhelmed by that? Guys are sitting there saying, no, please say no. She's too beautiful. She's okay. I don't care. Please say that. She's too beautiful. I don't care. There you go. Thank you. Because you're merciful. I mean, you're just a sinner too, right? Okay, so far we're still okay with the love story. But what if that you found out, what if you found out in the deepest part of her heart she was ice? You just peel back the skin of her heart, and at her very core, she was against you. With extra. See, we're looking at the passion of Jesus Christ over the next few weeks. We're going to continue to visit Christ crucified. And the last 2 weeks, we looked at how he took on the wrath of God for our sin. He became you, he became me, he became us in sin before an unspeakably holy God, and he drank the wrath of God to its dregs. I get pretty emotional when I talk about that, by the way, so sorry if that happens, but I do. It is intense what Jesus did for you on the cross in drinking the wrath of God. But one of the other things that he took on in his passion was his physical suffering. Why did Jesus have to go through so much? Why did he allow himself to be beaten literally beyond recognition? Why did he allow men to scourge him and to mock him? And why did he go through all the public physical torture? Because when he looked into your heart, into my heart, into our heart, he saw ice. He saw hearts that were, because of our sin nature, closed and dead. See, he didn't just have to overcome the wrath of God for us. He had to overcome that in us. He had to overcome that in us that was against him. And so I want us to look at this, the theology of against, because it's the more we look at it, the more we see ourselves. He came to get his bride. He came into this world to seek and save the lost. And how lost was I? I was against him. The scripture says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away what? The sin of the world. He didn't just take away the sin before an unspeakably holy God. He didn't just drink the wrath of God for me, which he did. He also took away the effect of sin in me that caused my heart to do this toward God. It was the ice, the against in all of us that nailed him to a tree. By the way, I saw this week. It was kind of stunning to me. It was a thesaurus, and the word God comes up like almost 6,000 times in the Bible. I thought it was more than that. I was like, really? The word against comes up almost 3,000 times. Just let me give you some examples, some just sample verses. I wrote this earlier. I was not just a sinner. I was a sinner against my Savior. Here's some samples. Psalm 2:2. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Numbers 20, verse 24, God is speaking to Aaron. Aaron will be gathered with his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given to the sons of Israel, because you rebelled against my command at the waters of Meribah. 1 Samuel 12, if you will fear the Lord and serve him and listen to his voice and not rebel against the command of the Lord, then both you and also the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God. If you will not listen to the voice of the Lord but rebel against the command of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you. And I began to realize as I was reading all these verses that all sin is ultimately what? against God. He goes on to say in another place, Jeremiah 33, I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned against me, by which they have transgressed against me. For the third time, he repeats that. So we're all sinners. So our first confession is we start to walk into the light and see who God is in his unspeakable holiness. We begin to also see our sin. Our first confession needs to be that we've all sinned against him. Amen? But we need to understand the effect of that sin in our heart is at the deepest core of our being. When you get in under the skin, we haven't just sinned against him, we are against him. Lord, I'm a sinner. And in my heart of hearts, at the deepest place, I am against you. And you will not understand that if you don't understand that we're not talking about believing in God. We're talking about surrendering to him. Immediately, the whole paradigm changes. And I want to suggest to you that there's a half gospel preached today where all you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. And you come to understand that. And how many people want a Savior? Everybody does. And we like to applaud that and say, when you have a faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's free, it won't cost you anything. And a lot of people want to receive that, but I want to ask another question. How many want to surrender the very core of their being to him as Lord? Oh, then we begin to get in the deepest realm of who we are. Because know you not that you are, what is it? The what? The temples of the living God. And the tabernacle, when you would come through that gate, the first thing you would see was the altar. You would see the fact that it takes blood to be reconciled to God. And this is that season when we celebrate and we look at the wonder of the cross. Amen? Oh, it is good to visit that. It is good to visit that over and over and over. Christ crucified is the power of God unto salvation. It is a free gift. But you go deeper in the temple, in the center behind the veil, in the Holy of Holies, there is a throne there. And when you go into the deepest part of a man, it is possible, yes, it is even common for a man to be seated on the throne of his heart, it to be his life, and a believer in Jesus dying for him, but it's still my life. And you don't know about enmity until you ask that man to forsake the throne and surrender the ownership of his life to Jesus Christ. Then that man goes, no, it's my life. Please hear this. There is a reluctance sometimes to recognize that we're a sinner. There's sometimes a reluctance to believe that Christ died on the cross for you. But we get past that fairly readily. But oh my goodness, it'll cost you everything to surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord. And when we get to that place where we're given up the ownership of our life, that's when we begin to see that deep inside, I am against him. I'm against him. When we peel the skin off, we see the ice. We see that deep inside, we are against. Romans chapter 5, I want us to see this in light of that. Romans chapter 5. Verse 5. Now, hope does not disappoint because, Romans 5:5, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to add a word there because it's not unbiblical. It might even help you. While we were still sinners against him, he died for us. See, it's one thing for me to look at a bride that I'm trying to pursue and say, you know what, she's a sinner, but I love her anyway. How many of you guys know that if your wife loves you knowing you're a sinner, that's like the way it should be, right? But what if she's a sinner against you, at the very core of her being? The singular, deepest against she has is against you. Hostile. Goes on actually to say that, verse 9. Much more than having now been justified his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were what? Enemies. enemies is not ekthra, it's ekthros. It's the pouring out, it's the acting out of this enemy. It means hate, odious, hostile. It literally is usually in the noun, and it is translated adversary. That's intense, right? Because we know who the adversary usually is talked about in the Bible. But guess what? We were all what? Adversaries. We were enemies. See, so while we were yet sinners against, while we were yet enemies, he died for us. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Praise God. It's our journey. It's all of our journey into the kingdom. We come to a turning point in our life. I've been enjoying the guys sharing those stories on Friday morning. We come to a turning point. We're in a free fall. We're just headed straight to hell without any interruption. And then God puts a turning point in our life. Something stops us. Usually it's something pretty painful. And then we turn. And we turn toward the Lord. And we come through those gates and we start to, as it is in the tabernacle, they would come through these gates of sincerity. They come through this gate and they would start to look. They would see, first of all, that Christ died for them. All of us remember that, right? Coming out of darkness into what? His marvelous light. And we see the holiness of God. We see our sin. We see Christ crucified. And then there needs to be a reaction to that. Let's go to Matthew 5. We've been looking a little bit at the Beatitudes. Again, this journey. God wants to bring somebody today to this place where our heart is melted and life happens. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. The turning point is always the same. Blessed are the bankrupt. Blessed are those who have no more schemes. Blessed are those who finally get to that place where they're not trying to do it on their own anymore. I pray to God that there's somebody here today that says, you know what, that's enough. I'm tired of trying to do this by myself. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that great? No one comes to the kingdom without having that place. So if you're at that place, stop right now and say, thank you, God, that you brought me to bankruptcy. And the next one is, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be paracletoed. They shall have the Holy Spirit of God come upon them. Blessed are they who mourn. So when we come to bankruptcy, and then we come to the realization that Christ died for us, there's a mourning that's not about our own sin. It's a mourning about, oh, Jesus, look what I cost you. And we're undone by such love. But it's not a me-centered mourning. It's about Jesus. Look what my sin cost you. Blessed are those who are undone by such love and are undone at the cross, for they shall be paracletos. And then it says, blessed are the what? Meek. You want to know the opposite of ice? It's this. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who take on the gentleness and the softness in their heart where they're just broken before him. The opposite of ice is submission. Blessed are the meek. It says they shall inherit the earth. You know why it says that? Because it's an ownership issue. Meekness says, I am giving up the throne of my heart to Jesus Christ. I'm giving him the ownership of my life. That's what it means for him to be Lord. I'm confessing publicly what he's done in my life, and my life doesn't belong to me. It belongs to him. It's ownership. It belongs to him. And the beauty of that is Jesus said everybody that gives up everything to him owns what? Everything. That's a mystery, by the way, isn't it? But it's true. Blessed are the meek. The ice heart says, it's mine. Stay away. The meek heart says, it's yours. Enter into this life, Lord. It belongs to you. Blessed are the meek. Every single person that comes into the kingdom, that surrenders to Jesus Christ and he comes in, knows what it is to get to that place of surrender. There's a war going on right now. I want to ask you, is Jesus the Lord of your life? Do you live in meekness before majesty? It's not have you had an encounter with Jesus. Is Jesus your Lord? Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. You who what? Practice lawlessness. the walking with Jesus Christ as Lord is not an event. It's you practice submission. Your life is in submission to the presence of the King. Please, please, ask yourself this question. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Because if you are not with him, Jesus said you're what? Let's look at it. You're in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. If you're not with him, you're what? You're against him. So if you're not in submission to him, the kingdom of God has not come in you. That means that your heart is what? It's ice. You're against him. Chapter 12, verse 30. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. This is an intense passage, and I sometimes get so vexed with the English language because this word scatter here, wow. It's through the idea of penetrating, but it's scorpizo, where you get your word scorpion. It's a word to pierce like a scorpion sting and to put to flight, and it means to poison. So if you're not with him, you're what? You're against him, and instead of being, because when you're with him, by the way, you're not just with Jesus in submission to him, you have his heart, and what are you doing? You're gathering with him. What do you think he's talking about there? Souls. Your passion immediately in submission to Jesus Christ is you're giving your life for his cause and his kingdom. I just was sharing with somebody that's going to be baptized in a few weeks, and she set an amazing example because after she surrendered her life to Christ, she posted this thing on Facebook. I'm not going to say her name, but many of you read it, right? Wasn't that way cool? What was she doing immediately with her life? Gathering, sharing the story. Beautiful, powerful. If you're not with me, you're against me. He who is with me, what? Is involved in what? He's gathering. He's got the heart of Jesus, and he's already, he or she is, even brand new, they're doing this. But if they're not, please hear this today. If your heart is ice, you are literally penetrating your world with poison. You are scattering. You're having an effect because this hardness of heart is contagious. And I wish I could tell you that's an exaggeration, but it's not. Please hear this. You can't hide ice. When your heart is like that, not only do those that love you know and grieve over you, but it becomes a tool of the enemy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's look at this. This is what happens when we don't surrender to Jesus and we continue in this battle. We eventually become recruited and used. And he just said, if you're not with me, you're not only against me, but this is how it works. And Timothy was experiencing this in his church, and so God breathed this word through him in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are what? In opposition. Those who would be against. Those whose hearts are ice, who've taken that position. And then it says, if God perhaps will grant them what? Repentance. Life again. So that they may know the truth. Because what's going on? That they may come to their senses. They've lost their mind. Their heart is growing cold, and now their mind is gone, and now they're what? They're in the snare of the devil, and they've been taken captive by him to do his will. Scorpizo. They penetrate their world like a scorpion, and they affect those around them. Look at, chapter breaks and numbers were not in the original God breathed. We've added those, and sometimes to our detriment, there shouldn't be a break between chapter 2 and 3 here, because it says this, but know this. Know this about those taken captive. In the last days, perilous times will come. For these people, they're going to be lovers of themselves. Instead of giving themselves to gather for the kingdom, who are they loving? Themselves, and they're lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. This tells me, by the way, that people can be given over to this at a young age. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, and they despising good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. One of the things that grieved my heart this morning as I was thinking about this is that people will still come to church and put on their Sunday best, but on the inside, their heart is ice. You can't hide it. Please don't even try. And this says this, having a form of godliness, denying its power, and from such people, what? Turn away. God is warning people, they're scorpions. Stay back. Please hear this. How many of you want God to say about you, stay back from them? They're poisonous. I'm telling you, people, we're either for him or what? We're against him. And it all comes from whether your heart is in meekness before majesty. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? I'm going to have Sean and Christy come and sing a closing song. This is a very simple message today, but God wants to bring life. He wants to bring life into the heart. And if you're here today and I'm especially concerned about those forms of godliness that come in the church. Number one, children raised in Christian families. You know what to say. You know how to act. But you also know that deep inside, it's ice. It's not okay. You're either for him or you're against him. And I am praying today that God will grant you, that you will come to your senses, that you will understand the enemy has plans for you. And he wants to use you. He wants to poison others through you. He wants to recruit you. He wants to take your hardness of heart, and he wants to use you to penetrate your world. That's what that word means. And you know, your life is not given to the gathering of souls. You're in love with who you are. You might not like how you look in the mirror, but you're looking out for you. You're against. It's a heart of rebellion. I'm begging that God would grant you repentance. We have 80-plus children in this church right now. 80-plus children. It's way cool. But I have this intense awareness that while the parents have the primary responsibility to raise these children up in the Lord, it is the older young adults in Christ that are either going to be an example for them and cut away for them in which they're going to follow Christ, or they're going to be poisoned by those ones they look up to. If their chin looks up to you, are you going to be Jesus to that younger child? Or are you going to be that scorpion, that one taken by the enemy to poison that heart? I'm pleading with you. Jesus was saying, you're if not for me, you're against me. You're either gathering with me or you're going to do this. You're going to scatter. Jesus was appealing to the fact that sometimes, even just for the sake of others, we need to get it right. I remember when Katie really fell away from the Lord when she was in her late teens. It was not her own skin that turned her back. It wasn't the fear of her own rebellion. It was the fact that she knew she was influencing others. That was the one thing that got a hold of her heart. And by the way, when she repented, was she suddenly filled with the Spirit? No, because her heart was what? Ice. I remember when she made a decision to turn back. And I remember her coming to church and making a public confession, my heart is like ice. And she didn't say, praise God, I repented, told God that. Now I'm just alive. You know what she said? She stood here and she said, my heart is like ice. Pray for me. I'm telling you, she's in Nigeria right now with her husband, Michael. Michael got there about 2 hours ago. And they are fighting through all this thing to adopt Oliver. For the last 5 months they've been there. Her heart is alive in Christ. She is beautiful. She's powerful. She's impacting her world. And she's involved in what? gathering. She's one of the most impactful people I know. But her repentance started with a decision. She came, she repented of her deadness, and she said, pray for me. I desperately need. She needed that meekness. She needed the presence of God. She needed the kingdom of God to come into her heart. And especially if you've been a religious child, it will take you determined to walk toward God to get back to life. So I'm begging you today to repent, because we got a whole bunch of children that are following you. I'm praying that God will grant you an awareness and a fear and enough love to care for those others that are behind you, that you will cut a trail and you'll say, I refuse to be dead. And I refuse to have a heart of ice. And God, I want to stand right now and say, I have been against you too long. And now, God, I'm for you. Take over this heart. Take over the throne of this life. And God, I'm giving it to you. My invitation first is to those older children that need Jesus. And then to every single other person that's here that needs to surrender the throne of their heart to Christ in meekness before majesty. Will you surrender to him today? It will cost you everything. Praise be to the living God. In meekness, you can do that. Father, I thank you for your word today. And God, I pray that as we hear these words of surrender in this song, that you would do a miracle in our midst. You would grant life. You would replace hearts of stone with hearts of flesh. If we're not for you, we're already against you. If we don't gather with you, we will scatter the very children and people that you're trying to gather. And God, I pray we would understand what's at stake is life and death. So I'm going to ask the saints to pray even now as we're singing this song. Pray. Go before God. Pray that his kingdom would come. And if God is stirring your heart today and you know that you need to surrender to him, you need that Jesus Christ to be the rightful Lord of your life. You've believed in him maybe for some time, but you've never surrendered to him as Lord, and it's been your life all this time. It cannot be yours anymore. You need to surrender to him in meekness before majesty and say, Lord, here I am. Take over this life. I want to invite you to come forward to do that. I can't make it easy for you because Jesus hung between heaven and earth. He died for you publicly, and he's asking you, will you publicly confess that he is Lord? Will you say no to yourself? Will you say no to your flesh? Will you leave behind? And it's an old-fashioned way to do it, but I don't know any better way to do it. You can't stay where you're at and follow God. So if you need to today, if you need to grab somebody's hand to come with you, grab somebody's hand, but come forward. Give your life to Christ. Don't be against him. Not anymore. Not anymore.